Welcome to this year's last Multipod episode, the podcast of Konrad Adenauer Foundation on International Cooperation.
Multipod, der Podcast der Konrad Adenauer Stiftung über internationale Zusammenarbeit.
Today we're in a conversation with Professor Margaret Satterthwaite, who is the newly appointed United Nations Special Rapporteur for the Independence of Judges and Lawyers. Professor Satterthwaite has also served as the faculty director of the Robert and Helen Bernstein Institute for Human Rights and as a faculty director of the Center for Human Rights and Global Justice at New York University. She's a professor of clinical law and director of the Global Justice Clinic. Professor Satterthwaite, it is a pleasure of having you with us today, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for the invitation. It's an honor to be with you.
I'm Christina Bellman. I work as policy advisor on multilateral affairs at Konrad Adenauer Foundation at the headquarters in Berlin, Germany. Professor Satterthwaite, we're having this conversation 1 week ahead of the International Human Rights Day, which takes place every year on December 10th. With the International Bill of Human Rights, we have a powerful instrument. It has the Universal Declaration of Human Rights at its core. And next year, in 2023, we're going to celebrate 75 years of the adoption of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. However, when we're looking at recent developments, not only democracies are facing regressive developments, also human rights increasingly come under threat. And this not only in autocratic regimes, but also in more democratic countries. In which areas have you identified the most severe human rights violations in recent years? And do we still have a reason to celebrate this 75-year anniversary?
There's no question that the recent years have been challenging ones. The climate emergency, the global pandemic, rising authoritarianism, high inequality, and rapidly escalating costs of living. These and other factors have contributed to significant suffering and widespread human rights violations. I'm particularly focused on the crisis in our legal institutions and justice systems, which in principle should be helping resolve many of these challenges. Two-thirds of the world's population, that's about 5 billion people, lack access to justice for everyday legal problems. At any one time, 1.5 billion people have justice problems they can't resolve, and more than a billion lack even legal identity. As we've seen in recent years, legal systems are being rightly challenged for their failures to deliver on everyday justice needs of regular people. Mass movements from the Black Lives Matter movement to climate protests and beyond are demanding more of institutions and systems that have done too little to address widespread harms, environmental destruction, and other injustices. As far as a reason to celebrate, the field of legal empowerment has demonstrated that the rule of law is enhanced when those most directly impacted by injustice have a key role in seeking solutions to those justice problems. Legal systems that encourage the active engagement of those who have too often been excluded are stronger and more resilient to ongoing threats of democratic backsliding. A truly global community of lawyers and non-lawyer practitioners, those non-lawyers are often called barefoot lawyers or community paralegals, is showing us that there are ways to make legal systems more transparent, accessible, and comprehensible to everyday people. When those paralegals join forces with lawyer allies and are able to engage with independent judicial systems, they increase the credibility of systems meant to ensure justice for all. I find that a real light in this potentially dark time.
And Professor Satterthwaite, you've been appointed as the new UN Special Rapporteur for the Independence of Judges and Lawyers in October this year. Could you maybe explain to our listeners why an independent judiciary is so important for the protection of human rights?
An independent judiciary is vital to the protection of all human rights. It's absolutely essential to resisting undue influence, ensuring equality, and providing remedies for justice problems. It's easy to understand why judicial independence is important when you think about all the forces that could make a judge unfair. Imagine a judge who's required to pledge loyalty to a leader to get their position, or a judge who's not paid a decent salary and becomes vulnerable to bribes. Or think about judges who harbor discriminatory attitudes towards some populations or believe women are inferior. Would you want to bring your case before this judge? No one would. And yet in many places, this is the only kind of justice the legal system provides. So guarantees of judicial independence and integrity, structural, legal, individual, are all important for ensuring that everyone, no matter their station or situation, can get a fair hearing. And these fair hearings are important when human rights are on the line. Unfortunately, in many places around the world, the impartiality of the rule of law and the integrity of the judicial system is eroding, with frequent attacks on the independence of judges, lawyers, prosecutors, and court officials. According to the World Justice Project, 2022 is the fifth year in a row that the rule of law has declined in most countries, with checks on government power falling in 58% of countries, and respect for core human rights and freedoms falling in two-thirds of countries this year alone. Working on the integrity and independence of judicial systems is a way of pushing back against that kind of degradation.
So you've highlighted the current threats to human rights globally. And I think what you just mentioned, your last point, that for the fifth year in a row, rule of law has been in decline globally. That's very concerning. So what kind of adverse trends can we notice globally?
So we are seeing democratic backsliding and rising authoritarianism compromising the integrity of legal systems and really creating grave risks for judges and for lawyers. Powerful actors with a strong interest in capturing and weakening systems that would otherwise provide a check on power are adopting a range of tactics. This playbook includes threats and intimidation, removal from office, misuse of legal processes, including criminalization, and other forms of attacks on judges, lawyers, and grassroots legal advocates. Another trend that's very concerning was recently highlighted by the UN Working Group on Business and Human Rights, which found that companies sometimes use courts, quote, as avenues either to silence criticism or to influence political outcomes, end quote, by bringing what's called slap suits. Those are strategic lawsuits against public participation that, quote, aim to intimidate and burden critics of a company in order to silence them and others who might speak up, end of quote. That situation is very concerning. Judges are being summarily transferred in some places or expelled following key decisions, while lawyers and paralegals are facing lawsuits for defending things like the environment.
Your mandate as a special rapporteur for the independence of judges and lawyers is part of the so-called Special Procedures Toolbox of the United Nations Human Rights Council. Could you please elaborate for our listeners what your mandate entails exactly, where you see added value and where you would see the need for closer cooperation either with member states or with the special procedures mechanism?
Thank you for that question. The idea of special procedures often sounds very technical, and so I appreciate this question. As a special rapporteur, I have a unique opportunity to cooperate with rights holders and civil society, and also with UN member states, so countries, as well as other thematic and country special procedures, which are other special rapporteurs, to help ensure that our legal institutions and justice systems are really fit for purpose, that they can support the realization of human rights for all. The mandate is also uniquely positioned to monitor and respond to some of the threats to judges and lawyers that we discussed earlier. I plan to respond as those threats occur, but also to connect disparate cases, to identify systemic abuses, and to name important regional and global trends. Cooperation with states is also important. I look forward to providing strategic input on law reform efforts, sharing expertise with judges and lawyers about international standards concerning judicial independence and the role of lawyers, and identifying good practices in access to justice and rule of law. I'm also eager to amplify lessons that grassroots justice advocates have for other justice operators. Those who are excluded from the protection of legal systems often have overlooked insights and knowledge from those that those running the systems could benefit from. By listening to those bearing the brunt of injustice, we can focus on other things that may need to change within those systems. So those are just some of the ways that I can engage on these issues as a special rapporteur.
Right. Thank you so much for elaborating. Lastly, I'd like to put three questions to you, Professor Sedith-Waite. So as the UN Special Rapporteur for the Independence of Judges and Lawyers, where would you like to continue the work of your predecessors in this position? And to which areas would you like to draw specific attention during your mandate and in your next upcoming report to the Human Rights Council at the United Nations General Assembly?
I'm very eager to build on the excellent work of my predecessor in this role, the Honorable Diego Garcia Sayan, as well as those who served before him. They have done crucial work that I'm using on a daily basis now, and I'm very excited to continue in that tradition. I'm still establishing my program of work, but currently focusing on three major themes. The first is reimagining and reinvigorating celebrating independence. The lens of independence is an important entry point to explore and address multiple and overlapping threats to legal systems and legitimacy crises within the judiciary in particular. I advance a vision of independence that reiterates bedrock requirements, including that judicial systems must be structurally separate from other branches of government, free from political interference, and devoid of corruption. But I also emphasize that judicial independence requires individual judges to be free of conflicts of interest, bias, and intersecting forms of discrimination. Going further, I intend to stress the judicial system should be independent from corporate capture, from the vestiges of colonialism, and from structural forms of oppression like institutionalized racism. Reinvigorating the concept of independence is important to building trust of all communities and advancing the full range of human rights. I will also focus on legal empowerment and what it means to ensure meaningful access to justice. Legal systems have been slow to recognize the expertise of grassroots activists, community paralegals, and other trained non-lawyer advocates. But rigorous, high-quality, critical legal empowerment is possible. There's considerable demand for exchange of best practices, resources, and convenings to advance that approach. And I'm also very concerned about protecting legal actors under threat, as I mentioned earlier. I certainly plan to focus significant energy on that, including looking at contemporary challenges. For example, I'm interested in innovating ways to respond to new threats like digital attacks on justice systems and unlawful surveillance of judges and lawyers. I'd like to explore places where judges experience pressure to use untested algorithmic decision tools and look at barriers to innovation like alternatives to incarceration and transformative justice.
That sounds certainly like a full plate. Thank you so much, Professor Sedgwick, for your time and for sharing your insights. We wish you all the best for your mandate. I think you really have taken up this position at a time when the global rule of law is under tremendous pressure. And therefore, it is even more important to have people like you at the forefront of trying to strengthen the rule of law and the independence of judges and lawyers. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure speaking with you. And I'm very excited to continue engaging with you as the mandate moves forward.
Multipod, der Podcast der Konrad-Adenauer-Stiftung über internationale Zusammenarbeit.